Fast Forward is a series from Tomorrow unlocked by Kaspersky, because your digital life deserves complete protection. When you're traveling to virtual worlds, your digital life matters. Protected with the new Kaspersky. Search Kaspersky on your smart speakers or check the show notes to start your free 30-day trial. Fast Forward is written and presented by Ghislaine Boddington. Episode 1, The Metaverse Blend, Hyper-Enhancing Our Hybrid Future.
There is a future that we think we know already, one that seems as safe as yesterday. It lies somewhere between what we know and what we can imagine, between the limits of today and the possibilities of tomorrow. But this future has a hidden dimension, a mysterious secret area that we like to call the past. Your senses are immediately overwhelmed as you walk into the cave. Drumming fills the space, echoing off the stone walls, the smell of the feast cooking, the flickering gold flames lighting up the colourful paintings on the high walls and ceiling. This multisensory ritual would always take place in cave dweller times after the hunters returned triumphant. The tribe would excitedly gather, adorned with their best skins and furs, faces brightly painted to eat, to celebrate and dance together in full body collective immersion, a vibrant enhancement of the senses. Maybe it is the need to feel a deeper sense of being, the urge to reach a place beyond our mundane lives that gives us humans this innate yearning for immersion. This is not a modern desire. Cave people knew how to fulfill it, as did medieval cathedral architects. We enter the gigantic portal doorway into the massive church chamber, echoing with the sound of pealing bells and liturgical songs, glimmering with bright gems from the stained glass windows, filled with the scent of burning oils and resins. And in more recent times, we only have to look at the popularity of clubs and festivals as the dance party scene continues to flourish. DJs and VJs in venues worldwide weave rhythms through huge crowds dancing joyously together, surrounded by flashing lights and video walls of images. Yet today, newer types of immersion spaces are emerging from our digital era technologies. The convergence of film, animation and sound is creating multiple virtual worlds online, which are accessed through our gaming consoles, virtual reality headsets and augmented reality glasses, as well as via our computers and smartphones, the digital portals of today. For the present, it's called the Metaverse. It's best imagined as a flock of bubbles of various sizes, small, huge, floating around and sometimes interconnecting, each one a different virtual world created especially for active participation. One of the first of these online world-building spaces was Second Life, launched in 2003. In it, we could create our very own avatars, and then teleport ourselves deep into this vast, collaborative virtual space to meet with friends, play, work, or learn a new skill. Just under a decade later, the Nintendo Wii console brought avatar creation directly into our living rooms. During the pandemic lockdowns, the popularity of collaborative worlds creation took off. The incredible growth in avatar participation in online environments like Minecraft, Fortnite Creative and Roblox was unexpected even by the virtual platform owners themselves. Avatar is an old Sanskrit word from 6th century Common Era, literally meaning descent and signifying the incarnation of a deity on Earth. Upcycled into mass popular usage in the 21st century, we now make avatar reincarnations of ourselves for use in immersion worlds, creatively exploring our virtual identity beyond the physical. Avatar attire, often called skins, have been a part of gaming online for a good while now, particularly in conflict games where armory and weapons are needed for self-protection. Nowadays, we can be far more artistic with our avatars, as the fashion industry has gone digital, offering us inspirational digital textiles and outfits for our virtual experiences. Michaela Laros from the digital fashion house The Fabricant in the Netherlands is passionate about giving us all the chance to make our own creations in this virtual future, to represent ourselves as we want to be perceived. With digital fashion, it seems there is far more room for us to be inventive and use our imaginations.
Digital fashion is a means of dressing and expressing yourself digitally through garments that are entirely non-physical. So a digital-only garment you would wear either via AR or on an avatar in a virtual space. And it's a way to communicate who you are and what you stand for or what you believe in or how you'd like to be represented when you're not present in your physical body, you're present in your virtual self. Within digital fashion, and certainly within the Fabricants platform, your role is a co-creator. So you're here to define what the aesthetic is right alongside us. Users of the platform are able to customize that garment using digital fabrics and trims to create their iteration of what they feel the look should be. We're a big fan of actually organic fabrics that move and evolve as you're wearing them. You see the folds, the reflection, all the details in the garment. We can go beyond what's physically possible and reimagine what garments and fashion can be when it's not just a static, finished object. They can be a work in progress. Within the nature of creating something digitally, you can add other experiences to that garment that obviously aren't physically possible. The garment can change based on your mood. It can morph into another shape in the evening compared to what it might be during the day. It could be coded with text, for example. It could literally just communicate what you're thinking at any given moment in time.
Shape-shifting outfits for any mood, for any time zone, for any virtual environment, allowing your wild side to emerge. In fact, this is truly out-of-this-world attire, freeing us up to be fluid with our own identities.
So it's very interesting to me that we're aware of a lot of these conversations around identity in the physical space. Within the virtual environment, these conversations are kind of amplified because everybody has the possibility to express multiplicity. We can be various selves. We can be lots of different characters or beings, if you like. So I think it's very interesting to explore that and recognize that we have this ability in the virtual space, because you're not necessarily just choosing from, am I going to express in a masculine or feminine way or in some binary way? You're thinking, maybe I could be a river. Maybe I could be a vapor. Maybe I could just be something kind of floating in the environment. So it really makes you question this idea of self and identity and opens up these ideas and thoughts, because I think we all suddenly get to experience maybe other realities that we wouldn't in our daily lives, particularly if you're not a trans person or you're not someone who maybe questions their sexuality. Yeah, I think it allows for empathy with recognizing other people when we can allow ourselves to be something beyond we experience in our physical reality.
But I wonder, how is this going to evolve beyond just using our super fashionable avatars in static screen-led contexts? Surely there is more to this than vanity and luxury. What's coming in the future?
I would love to see the possibility of expressing and experiencing the virtual self in the built environment. So I'd be walking down the street I would have activated my digital fashion persona, wearing something wildly expressive. I'd probably be walking down the street in jeans or whatever. But through some Wi-Fi enabled device, the person walking towards me, I've given them access to my digital persona. I've authorized that. And they can see the digital me walking towards them in all its spectacular glory, whatever that might be, my wings, my fire, whatever I happen to be wearing on that day that expresses the mood that I'm feeling on the day. I'd love to see that. I think it'd be a really fun, playful, expressive way to experience people, learn a little bit more about who they are, maybe get to access those parts of themselves that they don't necessarily show on a day-to-day basis. It's a different way of connecting with people beyond the immediate reality that you see.
These virtual immersive worlds truly are pioneering territories where we can be whoever we want to be. The downside of this self-expression is that there are currently no real ways to control bad behaviours. Let's go to the safety zone to hear what we can do about it.
The Safety Zone with David M., Principal Security Researcher at Kaspersky.
Although the metaverse seems like something that's kind of brand new, it's really an evolution of what's gone before. If you think of things like Second Life, which is 20 years old, it's a further development of that, obviously taking advantage of new technologies that weren't there 20 years ago. One of the key things, of course, is that you're using a computer of some kind as a platform into the metaverse, and therefore that's got to be a secure platform, because if it isn't, it leaves you open to all the types of threats that you would see in your daily life using a computer, you know, so phishing and scams, computer malware, all of that. You will be able to go to different places, you'll be able to acquire different possessions. These will have a real world value, and therefore an attacker might want to actually defraud you out of that. So it's important to secure the platform that we use as a launch pad into the metaverse. Make sure that we have comprehensive internet security on our computer, on our mobile, whatever device we're using to access the metaverse. The second thing is be very, very aware of the interactions that you're having. And if something occurs as part of an interaction with somebody else within the metaverse and you're not comfortable about that, then you need to think about, where are you going to go? Who are you going to complain to if there is some incident that makes you feel uncomfortable, that you don't like, some incident of abuse, for example?
With so much of your life being digital, it's important to stay safe online. For more cybersecurity tips from Kaspersky, check the show notes.
So we are all dressed up with nowhere to go but the metaverse, floating around in gorgeous outfits, showing off online. Is this ultimately going to be engaging enough? Yes, we can hang out with friends at an online festival or party. We can go to debates, visit galleries, and interact with random others in generative installations. But how can we communicate with each other using our avatar bodies? And isn't a more hybrid existence possible? One where we can be both virtual and physical simultaneously? It's in esports that we're seeing the fast evolution of what is called hybrid presence, our physicality reflected into a virtual world through our avatars. Esports is a communal space where teams compete, and where individual sports people and gamers are playing off against each other, all using their avatars. Several of the big platforms run both online and live events, and three-day tournaments can attract multiple millions of viewers globally. Stadiums sell out as people tune into the live streams, where you watch the players while interacting into your online community. Sports lovers can also attend in person to watch. Professor Andy Meier is the Chair of Science Communication and Future Media at the University of Salford in the UK. Involved for many years in the development of performance indicator sensors for Olympic sports activities, his body technology knowledge has naturally translated into the new esports worlds.
I think what's exciting about the esports world is it's still very experimental. We're seeing a fusion of this physical and digital experience that is really exciting, and some really great prototypes and experiences, actually, which have become quite mainstream already. You can go to places in all parts of the world and take part in a kind of immersive esports experience that allows you to strap on a headset and a backpack, and you go around a physical space interacting in digital worlds. It's really interesting when you look at the history of the discussion about physicality in esports, because historically, it's always been sort of rubbing up against traditional sports, and often to the point where the traditionalists think that esports really isn't a sport because it's people sitting down at a computer using their fingers to basically control avatars, and that's not physical. And it's interesting to have seen the philosophical discussions about this, where people would say, well, it's a bit like Formula One where you're sitting in a car, it's incredibly physical, and actually to perform at the elite level, you have to have a huge amount of physical training and mental training to be able to optimize your performance, even though it looks like you're just sitting at a keyboard. And what's happened over the last few years is there's a growing recognition, I think partly through the science of esports that's emerged over this period, of just how much physicality is involved. We saw with the Commonwealth Games a test event of esports where we had World Taekwondo demonstrating its virtual taekwondo, which involved athletes wearing a whole range of sensors that allowed them to map out their own taekwondo activity in a virtual space, allowing them to take part in virtual sparring. What's still interesting is that a lot of the esports games, people are playing within the confines and sort of limitations of the rules of that particular game. You see the sort of crossovers with this. You see how in Fortnite, characters dance and emulate dances that have then become big on TikTok and platforms like that. So you see this kind of cross-fertilization of expressions that then enter the gaming world. And I think that's one of the things that's really exciting about esports titles that have become kind of big gaming titles, is we see the fusion of those entertainment industries, music, dance, film, and gaming. And I think those aspects of that interoperability are what's really exciting about it.
So motion sensors directly translate our physical movements and gestures onto our avatars. Through our gaming controllers, as stick-on patches, or embedded in our clothing. The fitness sector is leading the way in getting us to join in from home, with VR helmets and sensor-linked tools that allow you, for example, to use a bike to steer you in the virtual world, even up a steep hill, as it checks your speed and heart rate. So can innovative add-ons help us to communicate with each other in groups online through our avatar bodies? And if not, why do we need an avatar at all?
I think it's very difficult for people to get behind the idea of why they would need an avatar if they're not necessarily into gaming or part of that sort of experience. So if you explain it and say, well, the metaverse is coming and it's a way of which people can express who they are through the things that they purchase, the experiences they encounter, and the people they want to connect with, I think that's a really nice way into it. So you get big brands now that are wanting to enter their space, put their digital products into those space, give people the opportunity to express their character using products that they buy, you know, clothing that is designed by Adidas or whichever company it might be, that you can then put onto your avatar. But I think that's happening because I do see the rise of the high street experience in all sorts of ways. I've got nephews that are going to virtual reality birthday parties. And so it is becoming, I think, a really subtle but very fast transformation of our society.
During COVID-19, the Australian Grand Prix was due to take place, but travel was banned and no venues were allowed to open to the public. So they took the fast decision to pivot the whole event into a computer game version, where they held races and had sports people competing, but inside the game. The graphics were high resolution, it had a running commentary as on the television, and it was praised for being such a good replacement at this complex time. But how can we participate, even as a spectator?
The challenge we have with some of the virtual reality active esports is that a lot of the content and the experience and what's happening for the player is happening within a digital world that the spectator can't easily see yet, unless they have their own headset. The really exciting way to watch drone racing is to have your own FPV goggles and see it through the eyes of the drone as it flies through space. And I think similarly with esports, we see the transformation of those experiences based around the possibility of occupying the first person view of the players and being able to move around them. There's also a huge amount around the possibility of creating collective decision making in esports. So you have a situation where you don't have a traditional game or team with a coach and a manager that's making decisions about the team. You have the audience collectively making decisions about its future. And with esports, if we can have a situation where the people manage the players and what happens on the playing field, then I think in the future we'll see it in even more remarkable ways. The possibility of entering into virtual reality environments where you can be a spectator running around the playing field, watching the sport and the activity as it's taken place. That's going to be a really exciting transformation.
It's clear there is a long way to go before virtual worlds can give us the same sense of presence, the same polysensory awareness as real life. But we will eventually have a possibility of being co-present with other people, either through our mobile phones, computers, or headsets. New venues are emerging for these experiences in places like the High Street, and architecture companies are rethinking the design proposition for physical sports stadiums to be able to house esports too. This is happening across many sectors beyond sports. In fact, some countries are making virtual versions of their whole territories for their citizens to populate. We will see the hybrid skill sets develop further as creative people working in this space innovate future tools so we can all exist and interact in both digital and physical space simultaneously. This future extension of such collective interactions will have far-reaching consequences. Yet in terms of behavioural psychologies and group engagements, new hybrid worlds will significantly reshape and transform the way we humans interact. We just need to learn together how to communicate effectively with each other, express ourselves through our avatar bodies, and join in as part of a team. Many would question if we even do this well in real life yet. Across season two, we cover a range of fascinating topics, including women in gaming, the ever-growing prevalence of data in and out of the home, in telegram to telepresence, the concept of extending our lives through digital health, in extended self, our future digital twins, and the world of cyborgs and embedded technologies in cyborg shifts. We also celebrate the contributions of women in STEM, and discuss the need for greater representation in the field. So make sure you're following us on your favourite podcast channel. You can also read more interviews and stories from Fast Forward Season 1 and 2 on tomorrowunlocked.com. We've added a link in the show notes. You have been listening to Fast Forward. This has been a Sounds Fancy production with music by Simon James and Max DeWardner. You also heard the voices of my special guests, Michaela Larros, Professor Andy Mia, and David M. My name is Ghislaine Boddington, and I have been your writer and presenter.
The Metaverse. Everyone seems very excited about it.
If they call their game video game, they don't get any funding. But if they call their video game a metaverse, suddenly VCs are interested.
But what actually is it?
People ask me what the metaverse is on panels, and I always just say the metaverse is people.
And does it even exist?
Pretty much every single mention of the metaverse thus far, we could just swap out with the words the internet.
I'm Susie O'Neill, and in the first edition of Insight Story, the brand new audio series from Kaspersky, the global cybersecurity experts, we'll be getting inside the metaverse and asking, is it the next big thing, or does the emperor have some new clothes? And most importantly, what does it mean for your business? Find Insight Story, Tech Trends Unpacked for Business Leaders, wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to get ahead, you can't afford to miss it.